You might like to open your Bible to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And in our studies or times we've been spending in our prayer meeting, night, evenings, we have been looking at God's wonderful person by way of his wonderful names, his names. And all of those names brought forth a wonderful understanding of what God, who God is and what he was doing at the right time for the people that heard the name. And thus, so here we are, the beneficiaries, looking back with all the names. We have all the names. So we're way ahead of all of them. We got them all. So we're trying to capitalize on them, and we share together the Lord, the Word. The Lord it is, he is, who sanctifieth, who sets apart. The God is the one who sets apart, sanctifies. That's the Word. And God did something wonderful. God took, when all were Gentiles, God raised up an Abraham. Abraham became the first Jew. And then God set apart Abraham and blessed Abraham. He set him apart. He sanctified him. And he sanctified in his word, in his person, he set apart ultimately Israel. And Israel was a set apart, sanctified people. Of all the nations of the earth, Israel is at the top. He's at the top of the pile. And they are the most precious and most valued. They are God's instrument. They are set apart for God to communicate by way of Israel to all the world that he is God. Israel is to be holy because God is holy, so that all the world is to know what? God is holy. Therefore, Israel must be holy. Therefore, Israel must be sanctified. Sanctified. And you read, Israel was to sanctify itself, to set itself apart in the light of the fact and because of the fact that God already has set them apart. When he brought them out of Egypt, he took them for his own. And thus they belong to him totally, totally. And they're forever his. And we share together more than once. Israel can never be anyone else's except God's. No other nation can conquer them truly. And they've never been conquered in that sense. They've been, land's been run over more than any other land. Been more abused, mistreated than any other people. But there is nation, their people, Israel, doesn't. They don't disappear. So now, in the light of that, Jude, and in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, they're set apart by God the Father, and they are preserved, kept, guarded, protected in Jesus Christ, and are called, So the point, little phrase, clause, they are sanctified by God the Father. Now, they're set apart by God the Father. Now, in the light of that, would you go with me, please, over if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Now remember the word sanctified, Old Testament, and then into the New, to be fresh, to be young, to be pure, to be consecrated, sacred, holy, and thus the word, as we shared before, it means to be set apart, going from that which is common taking something that is, I'll show you these. Don't steal them, but here they are. They're for the choir. These are all humans. And God reached down and he set apart a people, Israel. All the nations are here. Israel is over here. God did something wonderful. God did something for the church. He did something for us. And we are to demonstrate what Israel is supposed to be, sanctified, separated. And so here's the church, and God took a whosoever that believes, and he took him out of the world system of all the humans like us, and God took him and put him over here. Here's all the common, uncommon, unholy, holy, holy, set apart. Set apart, separated, separated. They're separated. Remember the watch we had. Well, here's the watch. And here's all the watches, make believe. And the watches are able, God made, the watchmaker made all the watches to function. And the watchmakers lose their capacity to tell time. They become defunct. He came to seek and to save that which was, what, Luke? Not lost. And they become defunct. And God reaches down and said, for whosoever that would believe. And the whosoever that would believe, God takes and sets them apart. You can't be sanctified. You have to be saved to be sanctified. You can't be sanctified in the fullest sense unless you're saved. So the believer gets saved, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God then takes the watch. All the watches are in there, but they don't work. And the watch was designed to fulfill a given purpose. And when the watch is sanctified, it is made to tell time, and the person who sets the watch apart owns the watch, and the watch is there to tell time. And that watch is meant to do something for me. That watch is meant, you are meant to do something for God. Humans are meant to be set apart for God to do something with. Now, in the light of that, and we share together, so it has to do with that which is common, ordinary, and to that which is set apart. It's made uncommon. It's made holy, holy. And so it's given from a ordinary purpose to an extraordinary purpose. Just like Israel has an extraordinary purpose, and its extraordinariness at the moment is being demonstrated by the hatred of the world for it. It's extraordinary. What other people in the world are hated like that? No one's hated like that. They're extraordinary. They're special. When they're on the high side believing, they're way up here. When they're down below, God makes them special up above. Down below. World, pay attention to Israel. Pay attention. Now, in the light of that, we shared together separation. Separation is the word. To separate. And it has to do not with the act of separating, but with the fact it's separated. Not the action, the fact. And the issue isn't where it's from, it's where it has become to. And Romans 5, just for a brief illustration. And you'll please note in verse 8, for God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And in the process, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Where we were sinners, that's right, sinners, lost, depraved, bankrupt, devoid of any righteousness. We were enemies. We were here, enemies, devoid, empty, and God reached down and did something when this is our condition. But God took us from that condition to this place. God did something wonderful for us. And it isn't about where you came from, it's where you've come to. That's the issue. You don't want to keep moaning and groaning. I was this and you were that. You read it in 2 Corinthians 6, etc. We were once all these things. But now you are saved and sanctified and set apart. You're no more that. Effeminate and everything else. God saved you. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the destination, where we have come to, not where we've come from. And thus it is a person. The person or thing is set apart, because they belong to God. God sets them apart for himself. And thus the person or thing has entered in to a brand new relationship over here with brand new conditions. They are in a whole new category that they never were before. A whole new category, as you'll see. Now, in the light of that, going from one condition to another, God saves us and sets us apart for himself. And thus Leviticus 11, 44, 45. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that doesn't stop with Israel. It goes all the way over to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You don't have any choice. If you say, the problem is, if you don't understand this, then you're trying to live this out. And you aren't going to get anywhere. You aren't going to get, I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to do, you'll be the next 1,000 years doing it. Next 1,000 years. Thus, keeping that before you, if you would, how does the Father, why can the Father sanctify us? Why can the Father, God the Father, here we are, God, why can you set us apart like this? And what does it mean to us? I want to understand, God, why am I set apart? John chapter 10 again. John chapter 10. And bear with me. I'm going to try to go and bang it, move it, inch by inch, inch by inch. So there's no reason to stumble, because we're taking tiny steps, baby steps, to get there. John chapter 10 and in verse 36, our Lord said, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified, there's our word, the Father sanctified the Son and sent him into the world, verse 36, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God, which he is. And they couldn't believe, they couldn't understand how he could be God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, having said that, God set him apart, born in Bethlehem of Judea, born by the way of the Spirit of God. He is totally, distinctly, wonderfully set apart. Set apart. Now, having set apart, being set apart, and he knew he was set apart. Are you special, Lord? Here he is, 12 years old, 30 years old. Are you special? I am special. Do you understand you're special? Oh, absolutely I understand I'm special. I've come to do my Father's will. I must come. I hope you all understand, Jesus said, why I'm here. You knew you were special. And you never lost your specialness with Jew, Gentiles, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes. You never lost your specialness. Now, over to John 17. John 17. And you will notice, please, because the Lord Jesus is set apart, then he is able to do something that he couldn't do if he wasn't set apart. Back over here in the basket, you can say, I'm going to trust God with all my heart and do whatever. I'm going to try to live for God down in the basket with everything, and I'm going to try to live for God. And you can do it. You can try to say it, but you can't do it. You only can do it over here if you're sanctified. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not set apart by God, he could never do the next part. John 17 and in verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Well, how can you set yourself apart? Because I have been set apart. I am set apart, and therefore I am privileged to exercise being set apart, sanctified. I can do something. I could never do it if I wasn't sanctified. Verse 19 again. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, if I don't set myself apart, there's no way for them to ever be set apart. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, having been set apart, sanctified by God, set apart by God, is able to fulfill the reason he's on earth, why he was set apart, so that he could fulfill the will of God, so that he could honor God. And he sets himself apart for that will. And because he does that, he makes possible that we can be set apart. He makes that possible. Otherwise, there's no way to do it. You couldn't dream up in 1,000 years, read 1,000,000 books. You couldn't do it. You won't come up with a religion, a philosophy, or anything, anywhere in the world. Nowhere will you come up with any way to get to God. You won't do it. You say, oh, that we haven't found them all. God said, I'm the only name given among men whereby ye what? You must be saved. There is no other. I am the only way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. None. Now, hang on. Thus, having said that, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, he sanctified himself for us. In John chapter 10, picking up in, if I may, verse 17. In the upper room, please note, verse 17. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because, not the upper room yet, but it would be. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man, verse 18, taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power and authority to lay it down, and I have power and authority to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I am sanctified for God's will, and I set myself apart, said the Lord, to fulfill it. And I have, therefore, I must go to Jerusalem. I must die. I volunteer. That's what I'm for. I'm sanctified for God's good will, and I yield to it. Not thy will, but thy will be done. That's what I'm going to do. That's what it's all about. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to, again, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. Hebrews 10. And in verse 4. And I know you know all this, but I hope repetition will lock some of it in. You know, you want to lock it in. Because I heard that. I don't care if you heard it. I want to know if you learned it. And you haven't learned anything if you can't do it. Learning means I can fulfill. I learned how to differentiate. I know how to do that. If I can say I'm learning, I'm taught, I've read about differentiation, but I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. Then you haven't learned it. You only learn something when you do it, when you have ownership of it. So, God, here we are, looking, and in Hebrews 10, God's going to fill in another piece about his Son. Chapter 10 and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. I didn't come to sacrifice an animal. I am the sacrifice. I'm the Lamb of God to be slain from the foundation of the world. So I'm not interested in all your sacrifices. You can do them. I am the sacrifice, he said. And thus he came to do God's will for us. And in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. It didn't accomplish anything. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. That's the purpose. That's why I'm sanctified. That's why I sanctify myself. Then said I, though I come in the volume of the book, it is written, verse 7, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, thou wouldst not. It wasn't about that. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, verse 9, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So the law, it didn't serve the purpose, but the sacrifice of his son would. Verse 10, by which will, God's will, we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So how do we get in? Well, Jesus said, I sanctify myself so that you can be sanctified. Then I can be sanctified. No one can be sanctified. No one can unless I do it. I got to make it possible. And he did. That's what he came to do, the Father's will. And thus in verse 10 again, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And once for all, we're done. All finished. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected, carried to the full, so there's lacking nothing, done, finished. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are being sanctified. They are presently being set apart. They are being set apart to be perfected. They're going to be finished. They lack nothing. They're already set apart. They're already set apart. God already has done everything for them. What do they need to do? They need to set themselves apart for God. That's what they need to do. God has done everything. They're sanctified. All they need to do, say, what's missing in my life? Nothing. Work, home, school, play, hard, easy, much, little, pain, sorrow, heartache. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Now, hang on. In the light of that, if you would remember in John 1:12, you don't have to turn there, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. So when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who sanctified himself and made himself available by way of his death, burial, and resurrection, he made himself available so that you and I could receive him in his wonderful deity. His wonderful humanity is seated in heaven. His wonderful deity as God the Son can enter your lot. And we're in the presence of him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if I may pick up in thought, you would be familiar, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, so it's all has to be of God, wonderfully of God. And that's why you don't have to say, well, if I just did this and I did that, you know, then we'd be able to say that we're having an experience, and you don't want to do that. Faith, we shared it in Sunday school the last two or three times. Faith means you're going to reach out, and you're not going to trust yourself. You're going to have faith in another. Not faith in the bus coming, not faith in the food eating, faith in another person. And you're going to give your heart to another person. And that person is God. And he doesn't give that back. You give your whole being to God, not 50%, not three quarters. You give that to God. And God, in his wonderful grace, now takes and does something wonderful for us. And we're to trust in God, not our experience, not where we're from, not anything else. You learn to trust God's what he's done. And you have, everything else has to disappear. All your experiences, fears, faults, frustrations, fumblings, bumblings, grumblings, they all have to go. You can't. That's your experience. You're trusting your experiences. You learn to have faith in God. And when your faith gets solidly resting in our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll know without a doubt that you are saved once for all forever. And it won't be because of your feelings. It'll be because your faith is resting in God who's already sanctified you. It's finished. And our trouble is we got too much of self. How we feel, how the day goes, how the work, school, home, health, wealth. And we got all of those things going. And it sends us on a very bumpy road, a very bumpy ride. Now, in light of that, verse 30, that in him, that of him, are you in Christ, God hath made it possible in Christ Jesus, who of God is made, has caused it to become, has made it happen to us, made it come to become unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And the word we're interested in and looking at is the word sanctification. Christ is our sanctification. So how God made it, God set apart his son, because God did that. God set apart his son, and his son turned around and set himself apart for God. The Lord Jesus Christ set himself apart for us, so that we could receive him as our Savior, and so that we could set ourselves apart for him. So something wonderful happens for us. Watch. Sanctification, verse 30. Let me slide over to show you the immediate benefit. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and if I may, in verse 2. Unto the church of God, the church belonging to God, which is located at Corinth, in Corinth, to them who are what? Sanctified. Where are they set apart? In Christ Jesus. And being set apart in Christ Jesus, how do you talk about them? As sinners? They're saints. There's your word. Holy, holy saints, consecrated ones. They're set apart ones. God set apart the believers, and the believers gather together, not because they like the building or they like the program or agenda. They're set apart because they're believers, and they come together because they're believers. That's why they belong together, because they're believers. They live, work, and outwork, as you see. So here they're called the sanctified in Christ Jesus. So here's the Corinthians identified by God so that they can understand how are we supposed to work out our problems? Because you are sanctified in Christ Jesus and you are called saints. Saints. You are set apart ones. So now, if you don't mind, said God, I'd like to work out some things with you that I don't do with anyone else. I can only do it with believers. The unsaved, I don't even pray for them. They are commanded all to believe. And until they believe, I wait. But when they believe, we got a different thing going. Now, so here, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, and in verse 17, benefit. Benefit of being set apart, the Corinthians, the believers, even for us. 1 Corinthians 3 and 17, you know. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is what? Holy, set apart, sanctified, consecrated. And that's the local assembly of believers 1 Corinthians 1, 2, the saints are assembled together and they're sanctified. And what do they need to know? Here's all the world around them. The temple of Diana and all the worship and all the corruption and all the politic and power. There it is. But they are, there they sit and assembled together and they are sanctified, set apart. They are set apart ones. And God said, you are my temple. Look at the end of verse 17. For the temple of God is holy, which, what? Temple you are. You're the temple. So if you don't mind, just think of Jerusalem and the temple of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And there it is, standing out there. And the people all can pass by, look in, do whatever. But that's a holy place. Where the believers assemble together is a holy place. It's a sanctified place. God is there. And as Israel became very special, being sanctified, the local body of believers becomes very special. They're sanctified, set apart. And of all the people up and down the state of Connecticut, the United States, all across the oceans, north and south, east and west, you are privileged right now to have a special relationship to God that you'll have nowhere else. Nowhere else. Never happened. You can dream it. You can talk about it. You can create whatever you wish. You do not have it. You only have it on God's terms. And there, you can't replace it. You can't replace this. God. So wherever God's people are gathered like that. Wow. Now, in the light of that, chapter 6. Chapter 6, so we make it, as you know, personal again. Is the each believer in the assembly, or any assembly, wherever they are, believing, set apart. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, you are familiar. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So not only are we a temple, a sanctuary, but your individual life. In other words, here's all the bricks going up in the wall. And the bricks make the walls. And the walls are walls, as the Hebrew mind would say. Think. And each brick looks just like all the other bricks. It belongs in the wall. The building is holy. And everyone in the building, like every brick in the wall, is holy. Every brick is holy. Every believer is holy. 1 Corinthians 3:6-19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy, Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Set apart God in a most wonderful way in your own heart and mind. You're set apart for God. Very, very special. So it isn't just the body of us. Every believer ought to be holy, holy, holy. Now, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And again, we'll look at it. Hebrews in chapter 2. And may I pick up, please, in verse 11. Remember now, in the light of the context. For both he that sanctifieth, sets apart, consecrates, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, set apart, are all of one. The Lord Jesus Christ sets us apart. The believer is set apart. The Lord Jesus Christ is sanctified by the Father. The believers are sanctified by the Father. They're all sanctified. And thus, what are you going to say? The Lord is the same as us. That's right. We're sanctified in him. He is our sanctification. He sets us apart for that special movement of God, that God is free if we would give him freedom to express himself. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause he is not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. He's not discouraged. He's not depressed to call them brethren. Brethren means we have the same life, the same love. We're kinsmen to him. And our Lord Jesus said it, you know. He said, as he swung his finger around with his mother and his half-brothers and sisters were at the door, saying he's mad, send a crazy brother out. The Lord swung his finger around and said, you are my brothers and sisters and mother. You are. But you say, you belong to me. I belong to you. You're sanctified, set apart. Wow. That's right. And your brethren, that's the starting point. How many people do you think that are believers understand that and start their day like that, go to bed like that? They have a privilege, a huge privilege, you know. Now, having tried to say that, keeping that in mind, would you go with me to chapter 10? Chapter 10 of Hebrews. And in chapter 10, and you know, in the light of what we read a moment ago, we're sanctified, perfected by him. Now we're going to slide down in the context to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, free, frank, fearless, three F's to give you the word, boldness. Therefore, having brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, to enter into the holiest, the most holiest place of all, where the high priest could go only once a year in the Day of Atonement to sprinkle the blood. You have been given access into the holiest. And when you say holiest, it's the holy place, sacred place, the sanctuary, the inner sanctuary, as it were. And you know from 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20 that you are my sanctuary. You think of buildings, churches. You, if you're a believer, are my sanctuary. You're my sanctuary. Do you understand that? Do you understand the impact, the import of that magnificent truth? You are my sanctuary. It isn't understood. That's why they tried it on the conference and that to overcome. You can't violate all the rules and be overcomers. How are you going to do it? You can't do it. It violates everything. You can talk about it. In fact, very rarely do you hear about overcoming. Comers, overcomers coming. No, coming, overcomers, overcoming. Did that come out all right? No, it didn't. But anyway, what I want you to know is that they don't enjoy overcoming. They lose. They go to church, they sing, they preach, but they don't overcome. Thus, no enjoyment of a wonderful God. Thus, over. In the light of that, over to, 1 Peter, remember, you don't have to turn there. Be ye holy, because what? I am holy. That's a command. God said, since I'm holy, I command you to be holy. Since I am set apart, and I set apart you, you be holy. Saints, be them. Saints, be saintly. Be it. Oh, I can't. No, that's what you need to be. That doesn't mean you crawl into a ground and hide and run away like in a nunnery or something. On the contrary, God left you where? Where does he want you? In the middle of the thick and thin of a lousy, messy world. And that's where God wants you to be. And all the hard things you're facing, all the difficult things that you're going to have to go through, that's the world. The world is all there in us and around us. And God leaves us in it, sanctified, so that we can bear witness to his wonderful person, because we're special, special, set apart. Thus, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter in chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But on the contrary, don't get all in a dither. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. Is God in a dither? Is God upset? Is God in trouble? Is God worried? Is there any bear too big that he can't get? Is there any army too huge? Is there any plague too great? No. And we're set apart for God to be God. In the midst of plagues, trouble, famine, everything. Think of Romans 8. All the different things, list them. All the persecutions, famine, everything. God said, what difference does it make? What can separate you from what? From who I am. So what are you doing? Oh God, poor me. No. It is poor you. Poor me when we say it. God has to help us. Chapter 3, verse 15. So on the contrary, sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. That's where to do it. Set apart God in your heart. That's what faith, I told you a minute ago. Don't get all tied up in experiences. Your feelings, your fears and faults, here they are rumbling around in here. And there's God. Now it's easy to say there's God sitting on the mountain, and here I am. And we can sort of visualize that. But you have to understand that you're all around. You are the mountain like Mount Sinai. You are the mountain, and on top is God. And in the middle of your heart, in the middle of your life, is God. God, you have a unique relationship to God. And so as God looks, if you're using your head, and God turns, he sees your whole being. He looks at all of your life. He looks down on all of your life. If you bring God down, that's what Billy Graham did 100 years ago. Well, not 100, but a long time ago. Billy Graham went. He had a wonderful ministry. Wonderful. God blessed him. And Billy Graham got all of the crowds, all the believers, friendly, nice believers that love him. Billy, you've got to love people. And so Billy Graham, instead of being on the top of the mountain where he was, if you want your light to shine, you put it at the top. You don't put a lighthouse at the bottom of the ocean. You put a lighthouse on top so that you can see it. And Billy Graham went down the mountain, inch, till he became in the valley. And no one could find God anymore. That's where he is today. Now, there's a little more to it than that, but you got the idea. Now, chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So we're going to look to God, and we're going to trust God with all our heart, and we're going to look back over to Hebrews chapter 12. Back over to Hebrews chapter 12, if we can. And you will notice God in his one, remember we just shared, God puts you in the middle of the world. He didn't ask you to get out of it. And you say, if I could just go to some little island, and God, I would pray every day, and I'd get up and have a coconut, and if my Bible's kept, I'll read my Bible every day, God. God said, goody, I'm going to send a rescue ship for you so you can get back into the city, back into the world. Because that's where you belong. That's where you belong. Now, chapter 12, God, here we are with all the trial and test. And here's verse 10, 12 and 10. For they, verily, for a few days, chasten to discipline, to train up, to get us to be able to be good students, learn the truth. Chasten us after their own pleasure. That's what people do in the human sense. But God chastens us. He chastens us for our profit. Now, what do you mean to profit? What is a profit? How is it to profit? How are you to be having a very good income? Because that you might be partners, to participate, to share together in his holiness, separation. He's separate, and you are. And you want to profit by all of that so that all the pressure sends you pressing into God. Not driving you away from God, pressing you into him. And if anyone wants to get you, all they can do is come like this, and they are only going to come in contact with our God because we're resting in him with all our heart. Wow. Now, so it's for our profit. And in the light of that, I'm trying to end early. I did good in the conference, didn't I? I did 20-something minutes. I did. I mean, didn't say anything, but I did it. Anyway, over with me, Ephesians chapter 5. And would you notice, please? Remember now that we're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. We're to outlive this partakers, and we're to outwork it. Outwork it. That's right. And in outworking it, God, what are we going to do? Well, we're to have fellowship, communion, 2 Corinthians 13. Our communion, our fellowship, our participation. We have a wonderful union with you, Spirit of God. And you honor our Lord Jesus Christ, and you honor your word. And thus, as we participate, we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we honor your word. We're partners. We're in agreement with you. So the Spirit of God, we're in communion. We're looking for God to do it. He will. And then what happens? Well, then what happens, you know. Romans 8, 26, 27, 28, all the way through. What do you know? Well, then God said, the Spirit of God says, you don't even know how to pray as you should. God said, I do. You don't know what to pray. Remember we did the other day in the 911 or whatever it was? You never have all the pieces. You'll have just a few pieces. And all you can do is work with the pieces you have and trust God. The rest of the pieces, God has. And how any day or any hour or anything goes, God has the rest of the pieces. And we just trust God and be faithful in the middle of it as it works itself out. And thus, God said, he prays, the Spirit of God prays to God the Father, God the Son, for the will of God. What are we doing in the Spirit of God? We're looking for your will. What are we sanctified for? So that you can outwork your good will. And so what do we then say? Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good. That's what we say. Why not? It isn't my will. I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. No, I don't wish anything would happen. I just want what God wants. At any given hour, I'm going to eat my Cheerios and everything and trust God. God, you do whatever you wish. I'll give my whole heart to whatever I'm doing, but you do it. You help me. And that's what God's going to do. I don't have all the pieces, neither do you. We do them to the glory of God, and so that we can know what? God's wonderful good working, God's good workmanship, God's good work, God's good working, God's outworking. That's why you're yielding. Why am I yielding? Because of God, you're going to do good. That's right. I'm your workmanship. You're going to outwork. I'm to outwork what you have in mind. That's right. And God, it's good. Good working. Good works. All to be outworked. And my business is God to trust you with all my heart to have it work. And thus in Ephesians chapter 5. And you would note, wonderfully so, Ephesians 5, God, what is your wonderful purpose? Among other things, among many things. Ephesians 5 and 26, that he might sanctify, set apart, and cleanse it, the church, that with the washing of water by the word, that purpose, he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, set apart, without blemish for him. That's our place. That's our privilege. And we sit here looking to God. God, we're to present, you're going to present it to yourself. And so, God, you'll have to work it out. I don't know how to work it out. You don't know how to work it out. God knows how to work it out. God, it isn't, I'm not being changed. God is, you know, all the statements. We're being changed from glory to glory to be like the president or to be like somebody else. No, you aren't. You're changed from one degree or another to be like him. That's the whole purpose, to be like him. So the work, thick, home, all the things you go through, you have to go through them. And you either learn well in them and advance because you learn something, but you're trusting God. The more you trust God, the more you learn, the more you'll be able to be doing. The less you trust God, you're going to get hung up with your own solutions, your own inadequacy, your ignorance. You're going to get caught up in what you can't do. I can't do that. I never did that. That's for somebody else. And you got all the different phrases. And you won't do anything. You won't do anything. Listen, you could never strike out if you didn't get up to bat. Is that true? Did that come out all right? You understand? You can't score a touchdown if you don't run up with the ball. You can run out of the stadium, but you won't get a touchdown. You got to run. God, you've given it to us. So it isn't a big deal that we're going to have to come up with something. No, no, God has already done it. And he didn't ask for your power. He didn't ask for your IQ. He didn't ask for your skill. He just asked you to trust him. And he'd do it. It's so hard, isn't it? Why couldn't we have a nice liberal gospel? Everyone do the best they can, love everybody, and tolerate everybody, and just let everything go. Nothing matters, and you just go, and somehow it'll all come out right. Wrong. It'll all come out wrong. Won't come out right. You're going to have to do it right. Right. You're going to have to trust God to do it right. You know, you can't. You can just think of taking a credit card. If you take a credit card and you use it to buy three, I don't know what a good car, is a Mercedes a good car? I buy four Mercedes tomorrow and three yachts, and then you get the credit card bill, and you get $100 a week. It'll be a long time paying it off, I have to tell you. So you watch yourself. You learn how to do it. Otherwise, you're saying, God, trust me while I buy four yachts. That's presumptuous. No, you're going to say, God, trust me. Well, I don't buy any yachts, you see. I just buy a hamburger at McDonald's. And you trust God. And God will work it out. Wonderfully so. Anyway, I wish I could help you. Do you get the idea? Sanctification is marvelous. Very rarely understood. Very rarely ever practiced. Never practiced. I don't know where. Pulp it out. I don't know where. Not much. Because we have our plans, and we finish the job. My job's over. I'm going to go home and go golfing. No. Believing believers never have a break. You're always believing. And again, if you have a problem with that, are you tired of breathing? If you're tired of breathing and you stop breathing, you won't be tired of it anymore. Do you understand? You won't be anymore. As long as you're alive, you have to breathe. As long as you're alive in the body and you're saved, you have to believe. You have to do it. If you don't do it, you lose. Anyway, I trust you got a little bit.